Welcome to the Edward Woodson Show, shining a spotlight on the media minions and redistributing the truth. And now, here's your fair share of the truth, brought to you by your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome. I am the redistributionist. I'm going to give you your fair share because you're entitled to it. A pollster in Iowa said on Sunday that Donald Trump is defying political logic with his 2016 GOP presidential campaign. Ann Seltzer, who the establishment reveres, added that Trump is converting skeptics in the Hawkeye state in a way she has never previously encountered. The critics are dumbfounded. Once again, the experts don't quite know what to make of it. But I know that my listeners do because they get it. These people don't get it because they're dumb, 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 dumb. A few months ago, he had the highest unfavorable rating of anybody, Seltzer said, of Trump on CBS's Face the Nation. And people said, well, he can't possibly do any better in the horse race because his unfavorables are so high, said Seltzer, president of the Seltzer and Company polling firm in Des Moines. Can you ever really turn those around? I said, you know, we'll see. We've seen everything happen, and we've certainly seen it happen this time. She pointed to her organization's latest poll as proof that Trump is winning the respect of everyday Iowans. This is simply amazing. He now has a 61% favorability rating. A favorability rating of 61%. He's completely turned it around. Because a few months ago he had an unfavorability rating of like 61% or something like that, 60% or some crazy number. He now leads Iowa with 23%. Okay? 23%. You actually now have Jebby with the unfavorable rating. And I'm going to say this right now, right here, right now. Jeb needs to just get out of the race. Get out. It's time to get out. Okay? You also have now reports that that the Jeb Bush campaign, this was interesting, that the Jeb Bush campaign top fundraisers have left the campaign amid troubling signs. Three of Jeb's fundraisers in Florida have left the campaign. They're out. Done. Of course, the way they spun it was, well, they were going to leave anyway. Really? You leave now at this point in the campaign? When it just started? This is Politico. Three top Jeb Bush fundraisers abruptly parted ways with his presidential campaign on Friday. Internal personality conflicts and questions about the strength of his candidacy. There are different versions of what transpired. The Florida-based fundraising consultant Chris Money. That's a great name to have if you're a fundraiser. Chris Money. Remember that singer Eddie Money? Baby, hold on to me. Trey McClary and Debbie Alskander have said they voluntarily quit the campaign, but are still working for Bush's super PAC, Right to Rise. Others say the three who worked under the same contract were let go because they were no longer needed for the current phase of the campaign. I'm not buying any of that. The ship be sinking is what I think.
Rats are abandoning ship.
Yeah, that's what's happening. I don't believe any of that spin. Also, Trump has now won this Nashville grassroots straw poll with 52%. I mean, these numbers are really astounding when you think about it. Although, I'm not surprised. Peggy Noonan, Well, first of all, I want to play this little clip here. This is remember that that dork Frank Luntz that started this whole thing with Donald Trump with his comment of the John McCain comment in Arizona, which, by the way, was just a reaction to John McCain calling people that like Trump crazies. They're the crazies. And I said this on the show last week. Don't tell me what how Hispanics are going to vote and how they are a monolithic group. Okay? Don't tell me that. I'm Hispanic. There are many Hispanics that I know that like Donald Trump. You've got some dorky white dude like Karl Rove. He's going to tell me what I think. And also, don't tell me that George Ramos is the somehow the voice of Hispanics. He's the voice of left-wing, radical Hispanics, maybe. And those people were never going to vote for Trump anyway. So don't tell me that. Okay? Stop telling me, white boy, how I should act. That's like Karl Rove knowing what it means to be black. Okay? He has no idea. You know what Karl Rove knows? What dorky white guys may believe. And that's about it. But anyway, this is from this focus group. This is a woman who is a Mexican immigrant that supports Donald Trump. Listen to what she had to say. This is interesting.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
According to the polls, most Hispanics disapprove of Donald Trump, okay? Remember that. According to the polls, they disapprove.
I came here legally. Yeah. I did everything right to become resident and then American. So it took me a long time, 10 years. Because the immigration lost my documents. But I believe that he's a patriot. He loves America. And his slogan says, let's make America great again.
Now, here she talks about
when
the wall.
When I pay attention to what was he saying, I say he's right. We need, in one Mexico can build the wall. If we charge for every Mexican coming or everybody coming from Mexico to the United States, there you go. You get the money to pay for it. So every other countries do it. El Salvador does it. Guatemala does it. All of them does it.
So that's just one woman. But I've talked to scores of Hispanics in Miami. See, the press, the media in Washington has no clue. And that's why they're scratching their heads with this. They have no clue what's going on in America. Peggy Noonan writes this article. She nailed it.
It was a good article.
She nailed it. This was in the Wall Street Journal. But let me just say this about Peggy Noonan, first of all. When Barack Obama was elected, George Will had a gathering at his house for Barack Obama, a dinner at his house. He invited. George Will was there, of course. David Brooks from the New York Times. Charles Krautheimer, Byron York, Bill Kristol, and Peggy Noonan. Now, Peggy Noonan is considered like the den mother of the Washington political establishment within Washington. So when she writes this article, it's telling. So she talks about how she is noticing that the tide is turning. Basically, she talks about all the things that I have been talking about that you know, that all my listeners know, but finally she's getting it. She talks about her friend Caesar, who works the deli counter at her neighborhood grocery store. She lives in D.C., by the way. He's Dominican, an immigrant, early 50s, and listens most mornings to local Hispanic radio station, La Mega. She says, Caesar told me they opened the call-in lines after the first GOP debate among listeners, mostly Puerto Rican, Dominican, and Mexican, for their impressions. More than half called in to say they were for Mr. Trump. Their praise, Caesar told me a few weeks ago, dumbfounded the hosts. I later spoke to one of them who identified himself as DJ New Era. He backed Caesar's story. We were very surprised at the Trump support, he said. Why? It's a Latin-based market. He's the man, Caesar said of Mr. Trump. This week, I went by, and Caesar told me that after Mr. Trump threw Univision's well-known anchor and immigration activist George Ramos out of an Iowa news conference on Tuesday evening, the hosts again threw open the phone lines the following morning and were again surprised that the majority of callers backed not Mr. Ramos, but Mr. Trump. Caesar, who I should probably note sees me, I sense, as a very nice establishment person who needs to get with the new reality, was delighted. I said, Caesar, you're supposed to be offended by Trump. He said, Mexico is sending over criminals. He has been unfriendly. You're an immigrant. Caesar shook his head. No, you have it wrong. Immigrants, he said, don't like illegal immigration, and they're with Mr. Trump on anchor babies. They are coming in from other countries to give birth to take advantage of the system. We are saying that. When you come to this country, you pledge loyalty to the country that opened the doors to help you. He added, and this is exactly what I said last week, we don't vote block anymore. The idea of a Latin vote is basically, he said, bullcrap. He finished on the subject of Jorge Ramos. The elite have different notions from the grassroots working people. Translation, George Ramos is old style. George Ramos speaks for Hispanic Americans. No. George Ramos speaks for George Ramos. And it's often been said, and this is the establishment and the media saying, if you've lost Walter Cronkite, you've lost Middle America. Well, he's not Walter Cronkite. FYI. So, what do we make of this? Again, the elites are dumbfounded by this. They can't believe this. And so the point of her article is that she says America is in play. On the subject of elites, she goes on to say, I spoke to Scott Miller, co-founder of the Sawyer Miller Political Consulting Firm, who's now a corporate consultant. And this is what this guy had to say. Over 80% of the American people across the board believe an elite group of political incumbents plus big business, big media, big banks, big unions, and big special interests, the whole Washington political class, have rigged the system for the wealthy and connected. It is a remarkable moment, he said. More than half of the American people believe something has changed. Our democracy is not like it used to be. People feel they no longer have a voice. Support for Mr. Trump, he said, is not limited to the GOP base. See, I agree with that as well. Because when I've talked to people, and I use the example, she uses the example of Caesar, I use the example of Doreen, who lives in my neighborhood, who is a lesbian, who voted for Obama twice, who is a college professor, and who is going to vote for Donald Trump. You're just breaking all the, everything. All right, we got about a minute left. We've got Ellen. Ellen, can you hold over after the break?
Sure.
Okay.
I want to talk about President Xi and China, boy. What a mess.
About who, what, where?
President Xi in China is doing a state visit to the United States.
Overnight, the Shanghai index was down again. A lot of the markets are down again. I think that, did you hear, by the way, Lou say before, this is back in June, that, you know, China, that market doesn't really affect us.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'll hold on.
That market doesn't really affect us, Ellen. I think it's, interesting, and it's almost like you can't make this stuff up. All right, we're going to go on a quick break, but we'll be right back. All right, thanks.
And the people don't trust the media.
Right.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Dr. Kondrat has been selected to be the clinic director of the American Medical College of Homeopathy in Phoenix, Arizona. The clinic will offer world-class homeopathic and alternative services at greatly reduced rates. This clinic was established to make homeopathic and alternative care more affordable to the thousands of patients looking for alternative treatments. For more information, call the clinic at 602-864-0512. Once again, call 602-864-0512.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Like children clinging to their parents, stock market traders turned to the central banks last week as they sought protection from the frightening economic figures coming out of China. Surely, they asked, the central banks would ward off the approaching boogeyman as they have done so many times since the 2008 crash. In fact, U.S. Federal Reserve came up with the goods. William Dudley, president of the New York branch of the Federal Reserve, hinted that interest rates that many had expected next month will likely be delayed again. They are going to continue to pump money. Ellen, I know that the president of China is coming. I got to tell you, this is an inevitable result, what's happened in China with and throughout the world with central banks pumping money, trying to prop up markets. The U.S. has done that under the Obama administration, and it hasn't worked, and it's not going to work. We are going to have a crash that is going to make the 1929 stock market crash look like a walk in the park.
Well, that may well be, and a lot of people certainly are predicting it, and predicting that it'll happen in the next couple of years.
No. Try the next couple months. Not in years,
well,
Ellen.
Tom Hartman said 2016. I guess that's next year, right?
I don't know.
It could be a few months.
It could be any time. I mean, honestly, it could be any time. And the question is, what is going to be what's going to be the catalyst? But China certainly is in play. They've been trying to prop up this market for a long time now, i.e., with devaluing their currency. They've devalued their currency for a long time. They've tried to pump money into the system. I don't think it's going
well,
to
well, and they've also tried to steal all of our financial and other data.
No question.
And the president is welcoming the president of China there. Now, I agree we have to engage somewhat, but without sanctions? Now, the White House is leaking that they're going to do some kinds of sanctions. for economic espionage and for economic stealing all of our other kinds of secrets. Well, that makes some sense. But what's taking them so long?
Well, because the Obama administration really doesn't want to do that. Let's be honest here. The Obama administration talks about gay rights, but yet does business with regimes that summarily execute gay people. The Democrat Party talks about war on women, yet the war on women goes on every day in the Middle East. So let's be honest here. President Obama, the Democrat Party, are just hypocrites. That's just a fact. I mean, if you really want to talk about it.
But the other party isn't.
They're all hypocrites. They're all liars. And that is why, Donald Trump is probably going to be our next president.
Well, I don't know that he's going to be the next president, but he's going to do extremely well. And I actually think, against what Nate Silver thinks, says he only has a 2% of becoming president. He has an excellent chance of becoming president.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that he appeals to those Reagan Democrats. He appeals to black people. He appeals to a lot of Hispanics I talk to love him.
Because he will say what other people are not so willing to say.
Exactly. So, if you look at what's going on in the world going back to China. Donald Trump has talked about this for a long time, and I think that, going forward in terms of the economy, who better to run the economy than Donald Trump?
Well, you know, he is a businessman, and I have to say this, my brother, who knows him obviously from developing, he's very, very smart.
Yeah, and people like him. People like him.
They do like him. The question is, how is he going to do in the continuing debates? I think he's going to do very well in his own party, but how is he going to do in the general debates? And of course, that's always an issue.
Well, the Democrats have no one, Ellen. That's the problem. And I'm now hearing that Joe Biden is not going to run. What are you hearing?
Well, we have certainly heard that as well. A lot of people are hearing a lot of reluctance and that he's not really ready. I still think he's probably going to get in the game. I actually do.
I don't see why he wouldn't, although I don't think that he does well. There's no more insider Washington guy than Joe Biden. And in a climate where a guy like Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or Ben Carson is getting this populist kind of message out there, I think that Joe Biden is the opposite. He is the typical, and there's no more of an insider establishment guy than Joe Biden. So I think that, frankly, I think that would be a mistake. That's just my thing.
The issue is his experience, and I think what people are concerned about, honestly, in terms of President Obama, has been his not having been experienced. So in terms of the people who would elect him to their nominee, that's probably what they're going to go after with the vice president.
It's I got to tell you though, it's not looking good for the Dems. But
one that never knows, as you know, Ben Franklin said. I've said this on this show many times. A week is a long time in politics. You just never know.
It's an eternity. All right, I got to run. But thanks for coming on. I appreciate it, Ellen. All right.
Speaking of the president of China and. Did you hear what Trump said last week about him coming for a state dinner?
What is that?
That he would give him
a Big Mac.
Yeah.
He said he'd give him a double Big Mac. He's like, we don't have time to have a state dinner. We got a lot of work to do. I'll give you a double Big Mac.
I thought it was great.
The question is, would he supersize that meal? You know? Yeah, I mean, I've never believed any of the numbers coming out about China. But let's go back to this, to the markets, because Dow futures are down this morning. You're going to have, you had last week you had Black Monday and Wobbly Tuesday, and the markets regained most of their losses. If the economy in China is slowing, and that's the second largest economy in the world. What is the U.S. going to do to prop up the stock market? I mean, you know, remember during the 1990s and early 2000s, there was one interest rate cut after another. That's what China's doing right now. But we can't do that.
All of our bullets are spent.
Yeah. They had a meeting of the most important central bankers in Jackson Hole. And, you know, what are they going to do? I mean, they're going to keep pumping this liquidity into the markets. How long is that going to last? Because we've been devaluing our currency for the longest time now. We've been devaluing it by pumping up this money and propping up this thing. I mean, the stock markets are pumped with so much cheap credit. I think a crash is just around the corner. And if a crash comes, and I believe that it will, the central banks are all out of moves. Since 2008, think about this. The Fed has pumped $4.5 trillion into the financial system that we've just, out of thin air, just printed money. The Bank of England stopped at $375 billion. The Bank of Japan is still adding to its post-crash stimulus at about $700 billion a year. But China has borrowed heavily to keep its economy moving, and they're running out of steam. What's China going to do? And if this thing goes cattywampus, as I think it will, we don't have anything left. Okay? We don't have anything left. And that is my concern. I have no doubt that, you know, people talk about, well, the market came back, you know. Well, the market may come back. You're going to have gyrations in the market. Market's going to go up and down. Like it did before the crash in 1929. And even after.
And 2008.
Exactly. Because if you look at the numbers, there is no reason why the market should be as high as it is. It's a complete fugazi. there's no reason for it to be where it is. But I have no doubt that there will not be a rate increase. They keep saying, how long has the Fed said, well, in our next meeting, we're going to raise interest rates by 0.25%. We're talking about 0.25%. And they don't. Because whenever that happens, the market freaks. Can you imagine? They're not going to do that. But you will see QE4 coming right around the corner. And QE5 and QE6. And they're going to keep kicking this can down the road. Already in Greece, you saw in Greece, they approved that bailout. And they're saying already... Now, this is a country that's defaulted now in the last 5 years twice on their bailouts. Twice they've defaulted already. This is the third bailout. And they're saying it could only last a few months. So why give them the money? If you know, it's kind of like giving Jeb Bush money. You know he's going to lose. You know Greece is going to default. But you're going to keep giving them money? It's like giving a crackhead more money. And you say to the crackhead, hey, you know what? Just go buy yourself some diapers for your kid and some formula. What's the crackhead going to do? Going to go buy more crack. It's pointless. Talk about throwing good money after bad. We need sound economic policies. We need to promote growth in America. And again, that's why the Donald is resonating with Americans. We'll be right back.
By almost every measure, we are better off than when I took office. By almost every measure.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
This is Blaze Radio News. I'm Chris Barnes. The killer of a Texas sheriff's deputy to be in court today to face charges of capital murder. Police say Shannon Miles shot and killed Deputy Darren Goforth at a Houston gasoline station Friday night simply because he wears a law enforcement uniform. At a service for two murdered TV news professionals slaughtered by a former colleague, remarks about the dangers of anger. Here's the Blaze Radio's Greg Moore.
Our mental health system is not perfect. It needs a lot of work, but services exist, and we must use them for ourselves and for those we know who have uncontrolled anger.
WDBJ's Jeffrey Marks speaking at a memorial service for reporter Allison Parker and cameraman Adam Ward. Marks telling mourners gathered at a Roanoke Performance Hall, anger eats at you, and the results we saw Wednesday can be catastrophic. The gunman in Wednesday's attack was a disgruntled former employee who later took his own life.
Two Republican governors running for president discussing some controversial ideas for tackling illegal immigration, as we hear from the Blaze Radio's Joe Gomez.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker tells NBC's Meet the Press that building a wall at the U.S.-Canadian border is a legitimate issue because it would help U.S. intelligence officials with their counterterrorism work.
Part of what we're trying to do is protect ourselves. Set aside immigration for a minute, but protect ourselves from risk out there. I think we should make sure we have a secure border.
Meanwhile, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says the government could track illegal immigrants the same way that FedEx tracks packages.
We can do it, and we should bring in the folks from FedEx to use the technology to be able to do it. There's nothing wrong with that, and I don't mean people are packages, so let's not be ridiculous.
It looks like ISIS is determined to flatten all non-Islamic history. A Syrian human rights group now reporting that ISIS blows up yet another ancient temple in Syria after last week's report that ISIS recently used explosives to level another temple. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Arizona News Radio, tragedy in Avondale where a woman is in custody accused of drowning two-year-old twin boys.
We're investigating it. This is a death investigation. So detectives are on scene currently trying to find out exactly what happened, who was inside the residence.
Sergeant Brandon Bussey says the boys were found on the bed by firefighters. A 22-year-old woman facing two counts of first-degree murder. Police say she tried to drown a third child. Maria Lopez, described by family members, as mentally unstable. Tucson police shoot a burglary suspect to death. The suspect caught trying to break into a home when he heard the cops took off on a bike and ran into the desert.
During the chase into the desert, the suspect displayed a handgun and shots were fired. The suspect was struck by gunfire in that desert area.
Sergeant Pete Dugan says the suspect died at the scene. Officers unhurt. Not clear if the suspect shot at them. Another round of desert storm activity Sunday night, while parts of areas like the city of Mesa still dealing with power outages from storm activity Saturday. Geico weather, partly cloudy, warm, and a chance of storms again today. Jeff Scott, Arizona News.
This check of your KVNX traffic, a service of Unbound, Monday morning, you're going to find some delays eastbound I-10 around 59th Avenue through 35th. In Scottsdale, we have an accident involving a motorcycle, Hayden Road, east of Camelback. And we have a closure until this afternoon. Baseline Road is closed westbound at 59th Avenue. At Unbound, they don't see poverty, they see potential. That's just one way Unbound is different. Learn more at unbound.org.
From the KFNX Weather Center for the rest of the morning, we'll have partly cloudy skies at a low of 84. Heading into Monday, we'll have a mostly sunny day with a high of 105. There's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms Monday evening. Utility partly cloudy with an overnight low of 83. Tuesday looks mostly sunny with a high of 104. I'm Rod Tanner from the KFNX Weather Center.
Currently here in Midtown, we're at 87 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, more from the Edward Woodson Show on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
We've got Mike Opelka from The Blaze. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, sir. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, too. Did you hear that there's a new movie coming out with Batman and Superman together?
Yes.
And it's coming out September 9th. And, of course, I'm referring to Donald Trump and Ted Cruz.
And I don't know if you know this, but there'll also be another sort of superhero at that same breakout event.
Okay. And who would that be?
Glenn Beck.
Well, okay. I want to talk about this a little bit. Glenn Beck really likes Ted Cruz, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Apparently, Ted Cruz really likes Donald Trump. And so what I'm trying to understand this here. Why is it that and what does Ted Cruz see in Donald Trump that Glenn doesn't see in Donald Trump?
Ted has often said that Trump is simply leasing his or renting his supporters.
Who says that?
Ted Cruz said that a few months ago.
I think that's probably changed a lot now, probably.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that he would say that?
Well, again, I think that you're seeing that more than likely, I would think that, you know, maybe he's going to be part of his administration. I think he's riding in his wake. But that being said, what is Glenn Beck going to do if, for instance, Ted Cruz is the VP for the ticket. Is he going to? Because Glenn Beck's already said that if Donald Trump is the nominee, he's not going to vote for him.
Well, let's drive off that bridge when we come to it. I'm still in the camp that I don't believe that that's an eventuality.
Who? Okay, so then who?
It's too early. We're much too early to tell. But this is not about the presidency. This event is about the Israel deal, the Iran deal, protecting Israel by hopefully getting it rejected. And that's the big deal here.
Well, I'm just trying to understand what it is why Glenn is so opposed to the Donald.
Well, I can't speak for him. He's gone on record and said, you know, he doesn't believe he's a conservative and that he takes issue with some of his statements and his position changes, as it were. So that's been part of it.
I think
I can't speak for Glenn. I can only talk about what he has said and those have been some of the things. He has issues with how Trump's position has changed. He's also taken exception to Trump's position on single-payer health care. And I think they disagree on how to solve the immigration problem. And those are important things. And Trump's not, in Glenn's head, from what I've heard him say, he's not a serious candidate.
Well, it appears that he's going to be the nominee.
We are so far out on this.
Let's go back to
every Iowa poll before in the last six elections.
Yeah, well, you can't. Well, here's the thing.
So you're saying history doesn't matter now?
I don't think it does. You know, I really don't think it does. I mean, I understand what you're going to say, and I normally I would agree with that assessment, but I think you just got everything's broken now. I think that it's a completely different deal, and I think Donald Trump has just broken it. broke in the model. I mean, I just
it's interesting to watch, and I've made this statement on my little radio show and on other radio shows in the past. Trump to me is the grain of sand that is inside the oyster and is going to cause a pearl to be made. Now, whether or not it's a Trump pearl, a Cruz pearl, a Carson pearl, I don't think we know. But he's the irritating factor that is forcing the system to investigate itself and hopefully better itself.
Did you see the Peggy Noonan piece?
Yeah.
You know, I said this on my show, and I've been saying this for a while now. It's almost like she listened to my show. To say that Hispanics are a monolithic group is ridiculous. To have, you know, a bunch of white dudes tell me, as a Hispanic, I'm a Hispanic, how they're going to vote as a group is ridiculous.
Well, of course, to say that any group,
right.
Well, you would say that if you generalize any group that way, people would say you're generalizing. And yet we do have some history. Again, you're going to discount the facts of the previous elections?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I am, because I think...
No, so your whole theory is it's broken.
No, it's absolutely broken. Look, and I'm going to tell you right now, I know what I'm talking about. I am Hispanic. I live in Miami, and I'm telling you there are a vast majority of the Hispanics in Miami support what Donald Trump is saying.
Well, 61% of GOP Hispanics and conservatives that are Hispanic support him. But overall, his support in the universal Hispanic world, Republican
that.
And Democrats, is dismal.
I don't believe that. I think
these are the polls. You're going to believe your independent polls,
yes.
But not the pollsters.
So, yes, yeah. That's right.
This doesn't make sense. This means you're putting your head in the sand and discounting the information at hand.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you from talking. I'm like, again, come into my world, talk to Hispanics, come to Miami and talk to people. You know,
I would love to say to my boss, I need to go to Miami, but I don't think that's happening just yet.
All right. I want to talk to you about, speaking of your radio show, you posted this story about Donald Trump going to church. I want to ask you about some of the criticisms that have appeared here about some of the about this story and how do you address some of these criticisms? And I'm talking about Blaze readers that have said, like, here's one: there is a difference between faith and being a formal member of a church. I attend several churches and I'm not a member anywhere. Really, Glenn, get off Donald. He has become your obsession. Like, you're obsessed with the left, and your continuous attempts to destroy Donald brings to mind the proverb that if you want to hit a dog, you'll always find a stick. Why do you preach love for everyone except for Donald? They go on from there. There's a lot of negative comments here, and I want you to address that.
Well, first of all, the commenters have every right to have an opinion. And there are a number of folks who visit the Blaze regularly, who support Mr. Trump no matter what he says, and they are adamantly against any post that contradicts their canonization of Trump. And if you dare question him on any level, they come at you with vitriol that is unseen in previous years on the Blaze. And it's fine with me. They're allowed to have an opinion, but they also have to understand that facts come into play here. And these are facts.
Well, these are people that are going to go to the polls, though. I mean,
sure they are.
But,
but they, again, we're how far out on this?
You know, I know that. I know all that. I think this is like something we've never seen before. I really do believe that, Mike.
Well, so was Ross Perot.
No, this is not Ross Perot. Wrong. Ross Perot never led in the polls, ever. He was the best he ever did was number 3. So it's not Ross Perot. It's not Ross Perot at all. Because this guy's led in the polls from the beginning. He's like, you know, Kentucky when they came out in the preseason poll and they led the whole year and they won the NCAA.
So now you're going to compare it to basketball.
Well, I can't help the sports analogy. But really, I mean, that's what this is. This isn't Ross Perot. It's not Ross
Well,
Perot.
You're getting all excited, too, about a candidate who is leading in a poll.
I think it's interesting that...
But when I show you the same evidence that showed other candidates who led in the same poll at the same time in the last six presidential elections and then evaporated, you discount that.
Listen,
so you contradict yourself, sir.
I know it doesn't make any sense, and I'm telling you that from the outset. It doesn't
Well, as Judge Judy says, if it doesn't make any sense, then it's not true.
Well, I think that I think things are different now because, and even Glenn has talked about this, people are sick and tired of the professional political class that exists in Washington, and I think that the jig is up.
Well, definitely people are tired of the political class. Otherwise, you wouldn't see outsiders like Trump, like Carson, like Carly Fiorina doing so well against elected entrenched candidates, as we would call them. It's even a surprise to see how far down Cruz is and to see how far down Scott Walker is. And those are two guys who are kind of outside, but they're ahead of the bigger establishment candidates. Look at Lindsey Graham at zero.
Less than zero.
Yeah. there are several of these guys that have no business being there.
That's not
Gilmore, Pataki, and Lindsey Graham don't add up to one.
That's not a surprise, though. I mean, that's not a surprise to me. I mean, everybody knew that.
Well, there's still a whole lot of time. I encourage you to read. There's an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal today. It'll be in the print edition
right
this morning.
Here.
It's in the digital edition as of last night. Called The Donald Is Not the Jeb, the Jed. And it's comparing Donald Trump to Jed Clampett.
I got it right here. And, again, you know, the Wall Street...
By a guy named Greg Opelka, I have to tell you in full disclosure, it's my brother.
Well, come on. We're going to discount that. No. Hey, listen, I just think, look, I've never seen anything like this. I think it's wonderful. I think people are engaged. People are engaged more than I've ever seen them engaged.
That's the win.
And that is the win. That is the win. So that, so when you do have a Trump Cruz ticket, I'm just curious to see what Glenn's going to do. It's going to make.
Would it be Trump Cruz, or would it be Trump Carson, or would it be Trump Fiorina? Does it have to be Trump Cruz in order to bring in the center of the party?
Trump Cruz. I like it. All right. Well, we shall see.
And we've got time to argue this a lot of time.
We'll monitor. Good stuff today. Thanks a lot for coming on the show. Appreciate
Thank you, sir. God bless.
We'll be right back.
I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Hi, I'm Shelley LaPlante, Realtor with HomeSmart. When I'm driving with my family or showing property to my clients, I need a dependable vehicle. And a dependable vehicle in Arizona means cold air conditioning. So I rely on National Automotive Repair to keep me and my two daughters' vehicles operating safely. I strive to be my client's Realtor for life, and I know I have found the same with National Automotive Repair. Randy and his team have always been honest, dependable, and economical, and will be my auto repair shop for life. I trust National Automotive Repair to take care of me and my family, and I know you can trust them to take care of all of your vehicle needs as well.
Hi, I'm Randy from National Automotive Repair. National Automotive Repair has been in business since 1997, and I built this business on the basics of honesty and integrity. NAR is an independently owned Napa Auto Care Center. We are also an ASE Blue Seal of Excellence shop. We have always been rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. Give us a call at 602-978-3278, 602-978-3278, or visit us at narepair.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise. Nutrition that really works. This month, XenoX is on special. It is a vital, safe, food-rich source of iodine, essential for thyroid health and for women, life-critical for healthy reproductive system and healthy breasts. Many times, we need to take 3 to 10 capsules per day to build a reserve store of safe, food-based iodine and maintain a dose of 3 capsules per day for very best health. Buy two bottles, get the third one free. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447. Experience nutrition that really works.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
That's Bruno Mars, Saturday Night Funk. That one last night, the VMAs, as like the best song of the year.
I can see why.
That's a great song. Play that Kanye West. Kanye West is going to run for president, by the way. Play that again.
I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
And the best part is this. And then he said this real quick. Wait, let me play this for you. He goes...
Did he smoke something before he came out here? The answer is yes. I rolled up a little something.
He must be for him to say that he's going to run for president. I mean, he's probably serious, though. You know, I guarantee he's serious.
He thinks he is.
He's serious. All right, we got a caller on the line. Orlando calling from Miami. Thanks for listening to the show, and thanks for calling, Orlando.
Good morning, Edward.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. We spoke last year, remember?
Oh, yeah,
I will be calling you soon, I hope, to do some business with you, okay? But for the time being, I have two comments.
Go ahead.
One is, I don't know why you keep talking about an event that is going to take place in over a year, which is the election, and nothing can be done about it in the next. Things can change drastically, little minute by minute.
Because that's what we do here.
Why you keep talking so much about the election, being that there are other issues that you could concentrate upon?
Well, because that's what we do here.
But, okay, yes. Okay, that's one point. But probably you should, I would advise you to listen to Michael Savage and get some independent view on
Michael
issues.
Savage.
And probably get him on board to just take a clip on and get him on a 2-minute segment on your program. It will bring a lot of different perspectives.
All right. Well, thanks for I appreciate you calling the show. Thanks.
Wait. Just one more comment about the Hispanic vote.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I kind of disagree a little bit with you. And I'm Hispanic, of course.
Go ahead. That's okay.
But there is a bunch of people who really hate Donald Trump, and they're really brainwashed by Univision and Telemundo, and you know, it's going against the current. But the good thing is that Hispanic vote is only 16 or 17% of the whole population at large. But mostly all of them are against Donald Trump.
Well, the people that listen to Univision and Jorge Ramos weren't going to vote for him anyway, so it doesn't.
Yes,
really matter.
That's exactly. Yeah, I agree with you. Jorge Ramos is, in my opinion, is America's public enemy number one.
I agree. He's a leftist.
This guy is a lefty. He's had an agenda.
Yeah.
He's looking for the interest of Univision, not of the interest of America.
Of course, and of Jorge Ramos. All right, I got to run, but thanks for calling the show. I appreciate it, my man.
Thank you for taking my call, man.
Thank you. All right, we have another caller. We got Joe from Miramar. Joe, thank you for listening to the show, and thanks for calling. Hello?
Stop trying to recruit Glenn Beck. We got Michael Savage behind Trump. Don't worry about Glenn Beck.
Listen, Glenn Beck is seriously, he's Dave Chappelle. He's just gone. Remember when Dave Chappelle lost it? That's Glenn Beck. He's Dave Chappelle. He's become Dave Chappelle now.
Yeah, when Beck left Fox, he was supposedly on the brink of breaking some news that Fox didn't want him to break. Well, now he's with the Blaze for how many years? He hasn't broken anything.
No, but he's making a lot of money, making that Mormon money. All right, I got to run, my man. Thank you.
All right, bye.
I want to play this clip for you real quick. This is, what's this guy's name again? Steve?
Colin Quinn.
Colin Quinn. He's an up-and-coming comic. He did a little skit on political correctness, so I wanted to play this for you.
But if you even mention ethnicity, people feel a little bit... your stomach feels tense. If you even mention someone's ethnicity, everyone's like, wow, wow. If I told you a true story, this Mexican guy came up to me, ho, whoa. Why does this guy have to be Mexican in your true story? I don't understand. You know, you have to speak in the most idealized, pasteurized, homogenized, colorblind at all. You know, you feel, if you notice, you're like, this guy comes up to me, could have been Mexican, I don't know, I don't care. I shouldn't have been a Central America, his fat Latif. It was a man, all right? Wait a minute. I was sexist. I don't know if it was a man. Could have been a woman, could have been LGBT, I don't know. I mean, it was a life form came up to me. You know what? Hold on. I'd like to start the story by apologizing for, obviously, I'm coming from a place of Western, entitled, unconscious, paternalistic fear of the other, and, you know, non-heteronormative, gender-specific. I'd like to start by saying that this apology has been a learning experience for me and, you know, a teachable moment, and I think I'm going to do some soul-searching, and hopefully... down the line, I can start a non-profit for other people that are telling stories. You know. And sure, you applaud, but half the country, when you tell that apology, groveling, they're like, now you're starting to understand.
Check your privilege at the door. I mean, this is the problem. In America now, we have just become so afraid of offending anybody. And how do you, you know, you've got comics now that won't even go to college campuses. Because,
that's why it was so refreshing, you know, to hear this guy.
I mean, it's true. You can't even go. How does comedy survive? Like, how does a guy like Richard Pryor, George Carlin, Red Fox, I mean, the list goes on and on. Lenny Bruce. How could these guys survive today?
They couldn't.
They just, I mean, it's like ridiculous because that's the essence of comedy, is making fun of people. You can't even do that anymore because then, you know, you're a homophobe, you're sexist, you're transphobic, you're any number of the politically incorrect terms. The PC police, they'll come after you. And I'm sure they could do that with me every day. All right, we're out of time for the day, but go to my website, edwardwoodson.com. That's edwardwoodson.com. If you want to listen to the show or other shows, we've got them up on woodsonarchive.com. And like us on Facebook. Send me your friend requests. And follow me on Twitter, at Ed Woodson Show. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you every day to give you your fair share of the truth because you're entitled to it. Good day, America. I'm out.
I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show, changing talk radio forever.
Hi, my name is Faith. I have been in pain for 7 years. It started with a work-related injury, and I ended up with a herniated disc and nerve damage. I have been in pain for 7 years and tried many drugs and treatments. I have been taking morphine, Percocet, hydrocodone, and seeing chiropractors, physical therapists, and medical doctors. Some things helped me for a while, but nothing brought lasting relief. Finally, I was treated by the clinic, incredibly pain-free, in Scottsdale. And I am so pleased with the results. I'm now able to do the things I want to do without feeling drugged. My back feels so much better, and I'm so thankful for incredibly pain-free.
Incredibly pain-free. Your evaluation is free. Your consultation is free, and your first treatment is free. So to start your pain-free journey, call Incredibly Pain-Free at 480-535-8808. That's 480-535-8808. Start your pain-free journey, 535-8808.
Tune up, tune up, tune up. Your car? No, your luxury wristwatch. It's time to tune up your watch at Diamond Gems Jewelry. Our professional service includes cleaning, lubrication, and calibration. You save big with our August special. Call 602-279-0561 for your nearest location. That's Diamond Jim's August special, 602-279-0561.